Like Call It What You Want, which we know is your favorite podcast about the beautiful game, Vuori is committed to delivering a great experience for everyone, which is highlighted by their new perspective on performance apparel. Everything is designed to work out in, but doesn't look or feel like it. In fact, I'm rocking their Stratotech polo right now, along with their Sunday performance jogger pants, so I can be business on top when I'm on camera, but super comfortable on the bottom. And it's just the best. Vuori gear is incredibly versatile, and it can be used for just about any activity. Running, training, swimming, lounging around, hosting podcasts, doing errands, whatever your heart desires, because Vuori is an investment in your happiness. And for our listeners, they are offering 20% off your first purchase. So go get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet at Vuori.com/call it. That's Vuori.com/call it. Not only will you receive 20% off your first purchase, but enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75 and free returns. Go to Vuori.com/call it and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing. I'm Jimmy Conrad alongside Charlie, Chuck Wagon, Davies, and Hollywood Heath Pierce. And today on this very show, we are doing our power rankings. No, it's not about who has more powerful flex between me, Charlie, and Heath. It's about our top 10 players right now for the U.S. men's national team. And the rules are such. We're going to work from the bottom to the top. We're going to start with number 10. But before we get there, Heath and Charlie, do you have any prefaces that you want to state? Like, for example, I don't have any injured players on my list. So Gio Reyna, Serginho Dest, Chris Richards, Miles Robinson, Zach Steffen. That's my one big preface. I didn't have any guys that were currently hurt. But Heath, I'll come to you first. Any prefaces that we should know going into this?
I got two prefaces, Jimmy. If you put Greg Berhalter into a player top 10 ranking, Charlie and I are
Alex, just end it. End the YouTube.
Well, just shut the thing down and
Greg Berhalter on your top 10 list. Shut it down.
Okay. My second preface is that my top 10 power rankings are based on current power rankings, not based on how they fit within the team or whether they're a starter or not, because then we would just give our starting 10. And that's not how my power rankings work. So be ready.
Interesting. Okay. All right, Charlie, any prefaces that we should know before we walk into
similar
these
to Heath,
choppy waters? Okay.
Just my power 10. It's not position specific. I did exclude goalkeepers. I just went with field players. So no goalkeepers in my top 10.
Okay.
But
all right.
One last preface.
Injuries out.
Oh, here we more prefaces, everybody. Here we go.
One last preface. I want Alex to keep track of all future power rankings, because if any of you two are putting your friends in there because they're your friends, because I know you guys got friends on the national team.
So do you. What are you talking about?
Yeah. But okay. I want to be held to the same standard, but it's Charlie, especially because I know he's got some boys in the team and they always seem to get some love on this podcast, you know, until Charlie hates them. I just want Alex to start tracking that. Producer Alex. That
also another preface. Where is Charlie today? Cause that is an immaculate backdrop. Is that one of your kitchens in your?
Yes.
Where are we?
Great Wolf Lodge.
Somebody said Charlie's reporting live from the Cheesecake Factory.
That's why you got to watch this show visually, you know.
Yes, absolutely. It's just another vibe for the show. Just another vibe.
Another vibe. All right, let's start with number 10, then, shall we? Now, this was a consensus of our three power rankings, but I guess we'll also be able to kind of break him apart. Number 10 is Gio Reyna.
Okay.
So number 10. So I'll go first here, because just given it was tough for me to like bring the injured guys into the team. Obviously Gio Reyna would be in our top 10.
Obviously it wasn't that tough. It wasn't that tough, Jimmy, because you had him in your top 10. So I didn't have him in my top 10.
This is our consensus. He wasn't in my top 10 either. So clearly the rankings, I mean, I assume Charlie, you had him what? How high up the list for you?
I had him at number 6.
And me and Heath, I didn't have him on my top 10. I had my injured reserve.
Yeah. So the way it worked, it was to add all of our choices up, divide by 3, and Gio Reyna slipped in right at number 10. So wait. Right. Yeah. Okay. So Charlie is.
So explain then, Charlie, why you had Gio Reyna on your list in general.
So my reasoning was Gio Reyna, when fit and healthy, is a starter on this team. He's that gifted. I mean, it was just a snapshot in Azteca where he's able to dribble literally 6-7 players in one go. But Gio Reyna has the goods. He's a special player.
Okay.
He, in my opinion, is on the power rankings, and he's at 6 right now.
Okay, but so where was Timo Weah then for you? Because Pulisic's on one side, Timo Weah's on the other side.
You do want me to just give you my 10? How about that?
Jimmy, you want the 10, Jimmy? Or you want are you trying to put him on in a lineup, Jimmy? This isn't the lineup 10. That would just be a starting lineup.
No, listen. If he's trying to say he's an automatic starter in this team and we got Timo Weah that's ranked higher than him and Pulisic ranked higher than him, where does he start?
Timo Weah is at 5 for me.
Oh, wow. Okay, so I've never played with two wingers on the same side.
I haven't either. I'm just trying to understand how this works.
That gives you an idea. So I have Weston McKennie at 1. I have Tyler Adams at 2. I have Christian Pulisic at 3.
You just unhinged this entire power ranking show.
He's getting defensive. He's getting defensive.
Because you guys are already all over the place. So Yunus Musa at 4.
Timo Weah at 5.
Gio Reyna, Dest, Aaronson, Zimmerman, Robinson. That's my power 10 right now.
Okay, that's fair.
And that's the problem, is Gio Reyna is at 6, considering that the three midfielders are Musa, Musa, McKennie, and Adams, and Weah is in front of them. So,
hey, Jimmy, this guy must be with his kids at Cheesecake Factory, because he is heated right now. You know what I mean?
He is hot.
He's got kids knocking waters off the table, all kinds of stuff right now.
I want to see you. This is my thinking.
Okay? I kind of want to break down yours first.
Break it down. Let's break it down, Charlie.
Okay. Go ahead, Charlie. Explain yourself.
Weston is, I think, our most impactful player in terms of how much distance he covers in the midfield, but in terms of getting on the end of set pieces and being a real catalyst in the attacking third, which Tyler Adams isn't there yet as a player. Tyler Adams, incredible, but I think what Weston is able to provide this team as kind of both defensively and winning second balls and getting into the attacking third, playing at Juve and starting at Juve, I think his club form as well has been strong, that he's the one, number one right now. Jeez. Tyler Adams, his club form has dipped, but I think with the national team, it's still been consistent. So he's just the leader within the group. Everyone looks at him as the captain, really. Christian Pulisic, we've seen it's just been so up and down with club and country. Now, when he is the man, when he's doing his thing, he's the best player that we have, but we haven't seen it consistently. And I think that's when Christian goes from on the verge of talking about being the GOAT for the U.S. men's national team to actually being the GOAT for the U.S. men's national team, because Clint Dempsey and Landon Donovan had done it for year on year on year. So you have that longevity of success. So that's what Christian needs to bring to the table. Yunus Musa, after this camp, he said, I'm here. I'm staying and I'm going to be on the pitch, because now he's developing in the final third, which is where we need him to be. He's so different than Tyler and Weston in terms of dribbling, but I think that vaulted him to number 4, that he's indispensable for this team because he gives you something that the other players can't. And
Heath, can I jump in really quick?
Yeah.
Or Charlie, can I? It's clear you hate number 9s for the U.S. men's national. I don't see one goddamn number 9 on this list of yours.
How could you? How could you say
he, 4 goals against Granada, dude? Put some respect.
Come on, Jimmy. who would Jesus Ferrer go over? Let's think about that. All right, Timo Weah, he's proven that he's an impact player for us because he gives us also another dynamic that we don't typically have, which is stretching. But also, he's shown that he's developing, coming in, checking this into different spaces, and he can score goals. Gio Reyna and Dest, we know what they're capable of, their talent. They'll be higher on the list when they're playing consistently, but I'd say right now, they're top 10. You expect them to start in the world, at least definitely Serginho Dest to start in the World Cup.
Okay.
Aaronson, I mean, enough said, he got a big time move to the Premier League.
Oh, you got three right wingers in the top 10. I forgot. I've never played with three right wingers.
That's exactly. So this is not based on formation, right? We're talking about depth chart and strength. And this is where the strength of our team lies. Walker Zimmerman, I think we realize how he's our best center back right now. Whether you like it or you don't, I think he's improved a lot. He's kind of been
steady.
One of those players that you can rely on. You know what you're going to get out of him. And then Antti Robinson, because we have no left back depth. He's that important. So mm-hmm. if we lost him, we'd be in some trouble. So that's kind of how I
All right.
put together this list.
No, I appreciate that. I agree with you on the Destin Reyna stuff, that once they're playing, they'll move up into my top 10. They just haven't been involved recently, and that obviously bums everybody out because we want.
Yeah,
to
that
involved.
Means they have no power. There's no power.
Zero power. They got no like Charlie quads. You know what I mean?
No
they got
power.
Zero power right now. All right, so Heath, let's see your top 10. Then I'm kind of curious.
And oh, geez, we're just throwing it up. You want to throw it up there here whenever you're
ready,
Alex?
Let's see it.
Oh man, I'm gonna get attacked. I'm
you know what? I can't wait to see this now.
All right, so when we get this thing up, see if I can get my handy mouse going. There we go. It's moving. Let's see if Alex has mine ready to go up, and we'll walk through it. But I've got – I'll start at number 10. Paul Ariola, what do you guys think? Huh?
Wow.
It's quiet.
That was a bit of a surprise, to be honest.
Yeah, it's a surprise. But want me to start 10 to 1 or 1 to 10? Because
Let's go 10 to 1.
Okay. Paul Ariola is just one that I think continues to show value in the national team. And again, my power rankings are based on just pure form, not necessarily like it's like trending up or trending downwards. And he would have trended way upwards in my book just on his performances in camp. And quite frankly, doesn't get a ton of time, but when he gets time, I think he makes use of it and is a useful part of this national team. Now,
McKinney's not in your 10.
Oh, I didn't have McKinney in my 10 only because he hasn't been playing much lately, and he played
in the last camp.
Yeah, but he's not playing. He's not like he's playing much. Did he have what? Even in the last camp, I would have put him in my top 10.
In the last camp, he played in the last camp. He wouldn't
be one of my 10
in your top 10.
He wasn't okay. In this last camp, he was not one of my 10 best players in the last camp.
Jimmy, are we for real with this?
Hey, listen, Weston McKinney's in my top 3, dude. So I
Weston McKinney
is not in your top 10. I don't care if he's played 10 minutes.
He would not have been
in your top 10?
Yeah, not in this last camp. There was nothing about his performance that put him in the top 10 in this last camp.
Holy.
It actually took me a while to realize that he didn't have Weston McKinney.
He didn't put like, can we just take this list off the screen?
But what is all I know is if it's a current power ranking, why do I care?
Because people they can't see it. They have to hear what's happening.
Because Weston McKinney could be at 50%.
It doesn't matter.
Of his skill level, and be on the top 10.
He wasn't Weston McKennie that I've seen before. I don't care that he started at Juventus. This is a current power ranking. Weston McKennie's coming back from injury. He was solid in the camp, but he wasn't a top 10 player in this camp. He wasn't.
Okay.
Based on four games, he wasn't because I just didn't see it. So is this your power rankings or my power rankings?
I'm just saying. All right. Do your thing.
Weston McKennie. Weston McKennie plays regularly at Juventus. Weston McKennie's healthy, playing in the national team. He's going to be in my top 10. But that wasn't the case in this camp. So he didn't make my top 10. Paul Ariola, I thought, had a good camp. Therefore, he made it into my top 10. Anthony Robinson, similar to what you said at 9. Because I think he's important. Jesus Ferreira, again, continuing to be a striker in the team that we're going to in terms of his little movements, getting better as a player. Also, I just thought that he took another step forward, I think, at being a 9 for me. So he made my top 10 at number 8. Timothy Weah, I had to have him in there just because he's so dynamic. I think he's continuing to become a better and better player. Hopefully he makes a move over the summer and gets consistent time this season. Christian Pulisic didn't crack my top 5 again, mostly because I think he still has, I think he can take over this team. So he's in the top 10 because he's playing with the national team. We'll see what happens this summer. Brendan Aaronson was one above him at number 5, just because, again, solid camp for me and showing that he can play in a few different positions. Matt Turner's at 4. I got a goalkeeper in my top 5 just because up until Matt Turner played, we talked about how Zach Steffen's the one. Nothing matters. Zach Steffen's the one. It doesn't really matter. Now Matt Turner's going to go sit on the bench. We're still talking about Matt Turner being the number one.
How many games did Matt Turner play of those 4? Just 2?
Yeah. So you had
Granada and Morocco.
Yeah.
All right. Just want to make sure that that's consistent with your Weston McKennie stuff because he didn't play much either.
Weston McKennie Weston McKennie comes on, plays 30 minutes. We go, oh my gosh, it's Weston McKennie. He plays at Juventus.
Weston McKennie.
Look at how good he is.
75% is still in the top 10. That's my point. He could play one match of the 4 and still be top 10.
This is why I prefaced it by saying to Alex, we got to track your friends in this list because if your friends aren't in my list, you start getting upset about your friends not being in my list. Weston McKennie. is a top 10 player in our national team. Weston McKennie right now in the current power rankings for me is not in the top 10 based on this last camp. I just can't give it to him. I would love to, but it didn't really, it wasn't like the star Weston McKennie. Every other camp I would give it to Weston McKennie was in, but he didn't play much and he wasn't, he was just kind of average. He wasn't Weston McKennie that I've seen before. So he didn't make my top 10. Tyler Adams at 3, again, like Charlie said, leader in the team, captain in the team. Walker Zimmerman actually at 2, because while he's not as dynamic as we'd love to see from a center back, he has shored up that back line in a lot of ways that has allowed us to worry less about that. We go back to John Anthony Brooks. We all liked him when he's on the ball, but he was a liability defensively at times. And I think what Walker Zimmerman taking the chance that he's had and with the Robinson injury has just changed the dynamic of that back line to being at least somewhat secure in one spot. And now it's just about who's going to be next to him. Who's going to be next to him? And I think there's something deserving of that. Plus, he drives a lot of clean sheets for this national team.
Do you think his performance against Uruguay was number 2 worthy on this list?
Well, it was based on all of his performances and how the form that he's in right now.
Just in the camp.
Yeah, in the camp. I still think that he's a number 2 based on the fact that he's been solid.
Tyler and Pulisic and Aaronson.
I mean, you're comparing apples to oranges on positions. I'm not going based on positions.
Charlie's trying to poke the bear right now.
Charlie just wants to go with like the same guys. If you gave Charlie a power ranking, he'd go Weston McKennie, Tyler Adams, Christian Pulisic as his first 3 all the time. And you could put him in a blindfold. And so if those guys come into camp and and then Yunus Musa, regardless of what you say about Yunus Musa, we always end up talking about him after camp, how good he is. Mm-hmm. And how impactful he is into the team. We talk about he's young. Okay, yeah, he's not necessarily that much in the attack. He's not in the final third all the time, but we still leave every time going, that player is something different. And he's one of the few players that we talk about consistently as someone different in the terms of this style of play, the strength that he has. And I thought that was warranting of a number 1 spot from this camp alone or based on this current power rankings. Again, it's not a lineup.
So your power rankings 11. Is just based off of camp. This last
game. Yeah.
That's it.
It's literally based on today and what I recently came out of, right? We're not coming out of a league season. We're coming out of a long stretch with the national team, 4 games. Mm-hmm. And Yunus Musa, I thought, was really, really good in this team and continues to, even though I would love to see Brendan Aaronson in the central midfield, Yunus Musa is making it impossible because you know Weston's going to play, you know Tyler's going to play, and that leaves only 1 spot in there. And that could maybe be Gio Reyna, but Yunus Musa continues to make that a challenge because of those 3 together and the tools that they have, even though it's a little more neutral than it is attacking or attacking minded that I think Brendan Aaronson could do in terms of pressing, winning the ball in good spots and that sort of stuff. Yunus Musa would be the perfect excuse to remove from the field. And every time that he plays, you continue to go, wow, he needs to be on the field.
But is this 10 after the World Cup camp or currently right now today? Because if it's the camp, then Luca Della Torre has to be in the top 10.
I agree. Yeah. Della Torre should have been in there.
That's a good shout. I mean, that's a good shout.
Poking holes. That's all. That's all.
No, you can poke holes. That's the thing about a 10 is that some there are some loopholes in every 10, you know. unless you go with Greg's
over Areola, yeah.
Yeah. Areola was my hot take from my 10. He fit in the number 10 only because of the fact that, again, you're totally right. Luca Della Torre had a better camp than Paul Areola, but I also felt like for a 10, we could easily just give our best 10 out of 11, and that's the power rankings every time. And that's not very fun to talk about.
Well, I guess my
list but I will say Luca Della Torre is an oversight, and I messed that one up. And it definitely would have gone in probably over Jesus Ferreira, Paul Areola.
Respect to you acknowledging that.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
As I was going down my list, I was trying to make sure that I had a few in there that wouldn't be expected, because otherwise we just put our best 11 in a power rankings, and that's not a power rankings. Power rankings based on people who, not really, because
we're not all gonna have the same 10 in the same number.
Yeah, but if we did our best 11, we'd have at least eight out of ten being the same, and I don't think that's a discussion or a debate. I think a player that's played himself from player 26 or 23 played himself through the roof in a camp like that could be. And I don't mean through the roof, but proved themselves to be jumping upward in a top 10. Otherwise, we'll never crack the top 10. It's literally your starting 11 for the most part.
No, it's not the starting 11. It's the best 10 players you have.
I have my interpretation. And it's funny that we all have different interpretations of this ask, where producer Dez and producer Alex are like, hey, just give us your top 10 players. And we're all taking it in different ways. Mine's kind of a merge between you two. So we'll get into my list here.
And I hope you have injured players in there, Jimmy. I hope
you
do.
I don't have. I have an injured reserve. No, no death.
Gio Reyna hasn't played in 7 months, hasn't been in the top 10 power rankings.
No, I got Matt Turner at number 10 because, kind of to your point, Heath, there were certain players that I think solidified their position within the team. And I think he did enough in his two games where it's like he's our number one. Zach Steffen can come back and he can maybe – I don't know how he's going to try to beat out Matt Turner at this point because Matt Turner –
Why is that though, Jimmy? Why have we shifted so quickly from like Zach Steffen, good with his feet, he's going to be the number one, and Matt Turner attacking his feet because of the way we want to play, to now being Turner's the one? Like, where was that shift? Was it Zach Steffen's club performances plus injury?
Well, or, I mean, yes, I think – I don't know. I actually want to get your guys' thoughts, but I think that there's – some element of Matt Turner has a chip on his shoulder about this commentary and this narrative about him not being very good with his feet. And you can tell he's been working on it. And he made some plays against Morocco in particular where he cut it pretty close on a couple, but he still completed the passes. And we got out of one sequence when we ended up getting a goal out of playing starting from him. And so against Morocco. So I think there's an element of that. And we just not seeing a lot of Zach Steffen right now. And I think people are remembering the FA Cup final mistake and they are remembering that he doesn't play as much. So I don't know. I don't know what you guys, Charlie, what do you say on Matt Turner as my number 10 and kind of the Zach Steffen stuff?
Yeah.
Because I agree with you on Heath that there has been a shift and it just feels like Matt Turner is a great shot stopper, mm-hmm. puts himself in good spots. He makes timely save, which is really important for the team, which he did against Morocco. And every time he gets that chance, he's making the most of it.
I would say injuries, allowed Matt Turner to play. And with each opportunity, Matt Turner proved that he should be in contention for the number one. Yes, he hasn't been the greatest with his feet, but he's made improvements. And that's all you can ask for as a coach. Okay, you're a great shot stopper, which is your number one responsibility. But as a team, we want our keepers to play with their feet. We want them to be great with distribution. Okay, I challenge you, Matt Turner, to rise to the occasion. He's done that. And on top of that, he's made the move to Arsenal to say, hey, I'm on level playing field with Zach Steffen now. I'm in the Premier League at a top club. So I think from that perspective,
top club's strong, say, but yeah, all right. Now,
hey, the Europa League, fifth is not bad.
We didn't go to Newcastle.
That's true. I've cried tears of oil over here. Don't worry.
You definitely can say he is level with Zach Steffen right now. And it's not because Zach Steffen is not in good form. It's because he's allowed Matt Turner to rise and because he hadn't been available. And with the performances that he has had, he hasn't solidified, said, hey, I am the number one, because there have been some of those moments, shaky moments, and that's due to him not being consistent with his play and health. So I think Matt Turner is a great shout just because he just continues to get better.
And we also have Ramsdale, who didn't look good for England against Hungary. Not that he didn't look good. The whole team didn't look good when they lost 4-0 recently. I also jump in and say that the Zach Steffen performance against Costa Rica wasn't great. He was coming off of his line, kind of flapping a little bit. And there's just those little moments where we're not seeing that as much with Matt Turner. He's a little bit more steady. As much as I love Zach Steffen, there's just a steadiness with Matt Turner that I think is kind of edging him forward. Heath, to answer your question. Now, at number 9, I got cheeky and picked a number 9 and went with Jesus Ferreira because I just thought he's another guy similar to Matt Turner who's now taking another step towards solidifying being the guy for us in that position, especially with Greg Berhalter coming out and kind of saying that Haji Wright didn't take his opportunity and that Ferreira has. And as we discussed in previous podcasts, even when Ferreira's on the field and maybe he's not scoring, he still finds himself with one or two good opportunities a half. And I don't know if we have any other number 9 that's consistently creating those types of opportunities. So I want to give him a shout out, especially 4 goals in the game. You got to give some respect despite the opponent. You want to hop in, Charlie?
No, I would say the 4 goals, I think someone brought that up in the comments too. It's an incredible achievement, no matter who you play against. But you take it with a grain of salt too. I mean, there's perspective. You're scoring 4 against Granada, but against Morocco and Uruguay, there were no goals. So when you talk about the level of competition, there's a clear, distinct difference between those teams playing in the World Cup versus a Granada. And I don't want to take anything away from them, but at the end of the day, we're doing these power rankings. I look at the players who solidified their spot in the World Cup, that's for sure. But if you were to list, you know, some of these players, and I included Gio Reyna and Sergiño Dest because, let's be real, they're top 10. When they're playing, they're top 10.
Of course, 100%.
Both of them are training now, So I would say, yeah, you include them.
So Charlie, yeah. Tell me this then, as our resident number nine, aren't you more frustrated when you aren't creating opportunities than when you are creating opportunities, you're just not scoring? I mean, isn't that, that's something I look at. If I have a player that's at least getting himself in good spots to get opportunities and maybe isn't hitting the back of the net, you know, at some point he's going to become good and he'll start to score. I'm when I watch teams play and they're not creating any opportunities whatsoever, I think that's the bigger red flag than a player that is getting good opportunities and just not hitting the back of the net. Agreed?
Well, what I would say is his work rate and his ability to find the right spaces have been encouraging and promising. And that's why Greg Berhalter says, you know what, I'm going to go with this guy because it's been consistent. But the problem is, as a nine in this system, you also have to hold up the ball, not mm-hmm. just checking for the ball. Mm-hmm. If in the World Cup, under high pressure, they're going to rely on the nine to hold up the ball. They're going to launch it forward. And he's been poor when it comes to holding the ball down, whether it's flicking it on with your head or bringing it down with your chest, controlling it, or if a defender's right up your back and being able to turn with a ball to your feet. He hasn't been strong enough. And we're talking about the elite of the elite in a World Cup. And so therefore, for me, that's why there's still this okay. this discussion of who is the nine, because no one feels certain that he's going to be the guy. Now, he can be that, but he has to progress over the next 6 months. That's the biggest part of his game where he needs to develop. I don't care necessarily if he gets, you know, these chances and he's missing, because it is all about getting that chance. If you can get those chances, you're not worried. If he's playing for 90 minutes and doesn't get a shot on goal, then you say, okay, something else is wrong. And it's more about the positioning and being right, aware. Right. But he has those qualities, but it's the hold up play that's really lacked. And I think that's why people are like, where's Pepe? And is DK, is he healthy yet?
Yeah, right, right. No. Those are good shots, and I appreciate that insight. I think that because he's taken maybe another step or two towards being our guy, I want to put him on my list. All right, let's go to Anthony Robinson, number eight, now with our resident left back, Heath Pierce. Let's talk about left back Anthony Robinson. He's also on my list, just like you guys, because we don't really have anybody else. But what I really yeah. liked about his time when he played, Heath, was he seemed a little bit more steady than usual. I know he got forward, crazy forward against Morocco, but that was by design because Reggie Cannon was sitting back and kind of playing in the back three out of possession. But there was something about Anthony that I liked. I think he's doing a better job of picking his spots of when to go and when to stay. Did you notice that as well?
No, I didn't. he's still, I mean, I love his willingness to go forward because we have the double pivot. Now, if you switch those double pivots, and we've seen them starting to have a little bit more emphasis on Musa and McKinney being a little bit more forward. If you have that, then I think you're a little more exposed. But if you have Yunus sitting closer to Tyler defensively there, which I think has been a struggle for us to connect the lines, but obviously Yunus is good at passing through there, then we're a little bit exposed, especially if you're talking about Serginho Dest playing on the other side, who's also going to cheat up high. But I do – the one thing that I like, and I will say, and why I also had him in my list is – the left back position at every club in the world is always the one that people want to change. No one's ever happy with the left back position. And for the U.S. men's national team, I think people are pretty satisfied. People are pretty happy. I'm happy with his performances. I'm happy how he defends. I'm happy with how he goes forward. Yes, he could be better on the ball in the final third. His crossing can be better. But his energy and things like that, what he's contributed to the team, his ability to help the team get results, I think is always a nice place, because you're not constantly looking at, like, who's the next player that we can come in and challenge him for his spot. And every time that we have done that, not that we're super deep at left back, he's continued to rise with his stock. And so I like that. That's not a position that we're worried about, or we're scared, or we feel that we're exposed on. And that allows us to, again, focus our attention elsewhere.
No. I like that. I like that breakdown. Though I did think he was being a little bit more disciplined, but maybe I was hoping he'd be more disciplined. I'm gonna defer to you as our resident left back.
We switched to a back three, Jimmy, so he didn't have to be more disciplined.
That's true. Like, that's fair. That's fair.
His starting point is higher than Jesus Ferreira sometimes,
which is crazy.
Which I do like, because he's got good transition speed and things like that. But yeah, maybe I'll give you 5%, maybe 7%, Jimmy, that he's being a little more.
Well, if him and Dest are on the field at the same time, there's going to have to be that discipline. He's going to have to come in for sure. All right, I have Brendan Aaronson at 7. And the only reason I have him at 7, kind of below everybody else, like Timo Weah and Yunus Musa, McKennie Adams, Pulisic, is because I feel like he proved to us once again that he is adaptable in multiple positions. And he's got such good energy. that I feel like he might have played himself into being our super sub off the bench. Like, oh, we can play him out wide left. Look how great he did against, essentially, against Morocco. He can play right. We can maybe even put him at false nine if we want. He just has that. And if we look at anybody else that's coming off the bench, I think Brendan Aaronson gives us the best energy and the best engine to potentially change the game with what he brings to the table. And obviously with Musa, McKinney, and Adams playing as solid as they did against El Salvador and finding ways to have success in a very difficult situation with the field and being away from home. It just feels like Musa, McKinney, Adams is our midfield going forward.
Let me ask you this, Jimmy.
Yeah.
I know you've got Musa, McKinney, and Adams higher up in your rankings for those that are listening to this in audio form. But do you – I mean, I get this feeling that if Greg Berhalter could have 11 Brendan Aaronsons, he would. In terms of the way Greg Berhalter truly wants to play, right? In terms of the way that Brendan Aaronson plays at the club level, these players that – are part of this modern gegenpress type of thing. Do you feel like if Greg could find a way to fit him in, and this goes back to the Yunus Musa argument and things like that, just what he brings to a game. Again, he's not great in pocket. His pocket presence isn't great. He's not great when the game needs to be slowed down. I understand that. But just in terms of the way Greg likes to press, like if you ask any of these players, one of their major themes for a long time was that Greg wants them to press for 90 minutes. And I think they backed off of that a little bit because, again, it's different at an emotional level.
Thankfully, they should. I mean, it's impossible to press the way that I think Greg wants for 90 minutes. I think the sophisticated or evolved team will learn how to pick their spots. You know, when you see some of the best clubs around the world, they're very smart at when they go and when they stay and figuring out how to move as a group. But, yeah, I think there's something to be said about Brendan Aaronson and how he fits into kind of the mold of what Greg Berhalter wants to see. If he can cram him in, I'm sure he'll figure out a way to do so, but that means we'd have to sacrifice somebody else. So I'll get the team away at six. Team away, I just think, is locked down that right spot. Now, when Gio Reyna comes back, it's going to be interesting. Zimmerman, I feel like, just like you guys said, just been really steady, and we need a steady presence at center back. And then I have Adams at two, McKinney at three, and Musa at four. The old cliche is games are won or lost in midfield, and I thought those guys did a good job of continuing to put their stamp on things, that's the three that we're going to have moving forward. And I went with Christian Pulisic number one. I know that he maybe didn't have the stats to go with, you know, to kind of back up being number one, but there's something, and this maybe is thinking less about this camp and maybe starting to think overall. So this is where I got a little bit muddled between what you guys were doing with your power rankings. But I think he's incredibly important for our team, as Charlie mentioned. And I think a big part of that is he demands so much attention. He's our star player. When another country is scouting us, they're going to Pulisic first, in my humble opinion. How are we slowing down this guy? And because of that, that's going to open up space for other guys. And it's up to us to, if they're going to double down on Pulisic, the other guys have to step up and take advantage of those numerical advantages that are out there once they're trying to occupy and slow up Christian Pulisic. So there's just something I had that in my mind that's why he should be number one, because of his influence. And I really liked what he did against Morocco, where he gave the penalty up to Haji Wright, that he's looking to bring other people into the game. He was a captain that one. We've had plenty of discussions here on the podcast where maybe he's not captain material. I don't think we're having those discussions anymore because he's starting to demonstrate that he's a proper leader. I don't know, Charlie, any thoughts on my top five?
I think it's a solid top five.
Appreciate you.
Christian Pulisic. He's always going to float between one and three
for sure.
You know,
unless depends he has him at six.
Yeah, unless he has him at 11.
You'll have the boring. Your top five is literally the same as a guy who didn't watch the national team for the last 2 years would go. Well, you know, you got.
He wouldn't have Walker Zimmerman in his five.
Tyler. Oh yeah, Walker Zimmerman. I'll give you Charlie's though. There you go. And that Musa kid, that young guy, right? It wasn't you know, it'd be like the sports fan that
just Charlie, come get your guy, dude.
Because it's the truth. That we have Heath here, like Ariola's number two because he made some great runs. Now I'm going to throw Ethan Horvath up there just because I want to be different. I think what you did is we put together the top 10 and McKinney, Adams, and Pulisic, and Musa are around your top five. That's the realism of this. To be realistic, all of our impact players are attacking players, except for the number nine. And I think Walker Zimmerman, because he's been the center back that we've kind of looked towards because of injuries. So Miles Robinson, you know, you look at other players who can get on this top 10 list. Luca Della Torre. So he's got a big move ahead of him. We don't know what that's going to look like. We all know Ricardo Pepi can bolt back into the top 10 if he gets going.
Hey, you know, I sent Ricardo Pepi a DM today because he posted that he's back at Augsburg. And I sent like a real motivating message. I don't know why I did it, but I was like, hey, man, 5 months, let's go. Let's get it. You know, and I have no reason to do it. But something inspired me to just respond to his post. And he probably won't read it, but I wanted to say it. Now it's off my chest. Now I feel like I did my coaching part for the day.
I love that.
Such a dad move after Father's Day. Appreciate it.
How many former pros are doing that? Like sending words of encouragement because you've been in those
shoes. That's because these punk-ass kids, dude, they're not going to respond. You know what I mean? I'm just trying to be nice.
I was talking to the owner of Marseille, Frank McCourt, last week.
Jeez. And he was saying, watch your head. Here comes a gigantic flex right now. What's that about? Is that a personal best lift right there, that flex?
That guy used to own the Dodgers too, right?
And he was saying that Conrad De La Fuente is looking good. So they're pleased with him and they expect him. Because I said, hey, you going to sign any more Americans? And he's like, hey, we have Conrad De La Fuente. And he's, you know, he had an injury, but we're pretty high on him. So
did you invite Frank McCourt over to your house? Because that's just beautiful. Is he staying with you?
Charlie's Frank McMansion.
Yeah. All right, everybody, we're going to take our first and only break of the show. But when we return, we're going to talk about our consensus top 10. And of course, some stories that are out there. Yunus Musa being linked to Fiorentina, and then the U.S. already booking one of their opponents for the September window, Saudi Arabia. So don't go anywhere.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Tailored Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Tailored Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Tailored Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Tailored Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Tailored Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBS Sports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBS Sports. So start your business journey today with Tailored Brands.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Welcome back, everyone, to In Soccer We Trust. I'm Jimmy Conrad, also known as, what am I, Cream Cheese? Is that my nickname from last week? Cream Cheese.
Jimmy Cream Cheese Conrad.
And I feel like I should be on the And One tour. And Charlie Chuckwagon Davies and Hollywood Heath Pierce. We're breaking all things down, U.S. men's national team and our power rankings today, top 10. Make sure you hit like and subscribe if you're watching on the YouTubes. We just passed 5,000 subscribers. We appreciate you. If you are listening to this in audio form, make sure you hit subscribe on your podcast platform of choice. Leave us a 5-star review. We'd really appreciate that. We'll give you a high five in real life if we ever see you for doing that. And we got 2 more shows this week. We're going to keep coming with 3 shows every single week throughout the summer. And then, of course, as we gear up for this upcoming European season and any MLS news that's out there, of course, and anything else going around the U.S. soccer sphere and the September friendlies. Let's talk about that first. So, Charlie, I'll come to you. We already got one of our opponents. It's looking like it's going to be Japan and Saudi Arabia, but Japan hasn't been announced yet, but Saudi Arabia has. Are you happy with that opponent to face in the September friendly? Did you want to see somebody different?
Do I have to be honest here?
Well, I don't know. You've been pretty honest with your power rankings at this point.
I'm gonna say I'm not pumped about neither of those two opponents. And I get it. You want to play different types of opponents, but give me the best. Give me France. Give me the Netherlands. I want the top teams to test ourselves against. Maybe an Argentina or a Brazil. That would have been nice to go with a France, because we are playing England, and Japan and Saudi Arabia, no disrespect to those teams, are not going to prepare you for England. And I know it's a work in progress, and we want to get everybody on the same page. And maybe if you play a slightly less competitive opponent, maybe it's a good thing, because you win the games and you have that kind of spirit heading into World Cup camp. But we got to be playing against the best. It's a constant test.
Do you think that a game like that is just for lack of the fact that, like, you know, Golbazan, the Iranian podcast, was talking about how the Iranian Federation was really poor at, like, getting ahead of matches, right? To know that, like, you got this window and you're competing with everybody for, like, a good matchup, mm-hmm. right? So everybody's looking for good games leading up to the World Cup. Do you think it's just a lack of availability with teams? Do you think it's them thinking a little bit like Morocco, Saudi, they're going to be a little bit more Iran-like? Just thinking about what the value is, do you think it's just because that's who's available, or that's who they, or do you think there's some sort of tactical reason behind that? Because you could play a Poland or something like that. That could be maybe closer to England. I mean, who else would you like to see that would be England or a Wales type?
Well, I think England's a top five team in the World Cup. So you're only looking at Belgium or France, Holland.
But is it a style of play versus like a ranking system that you want to prep for?
I think that's what goes into scheduling these games, is the style of play, which I understand. But I would rather us be tested against the best, no matter what the style is, because that's what a World Cup is, adjusting. And you know, in some cases, teams who might be known as being a very defensive-minded team, maybe they attack, maybe they switch it up, and they're pressing high. So you have to just be flexible with who you play. And maybe there's times where you play France and they concede possession, or maybe there's a red card or injury. You never know. So I'd rather play against the very best to kind of raise our level, to see our deficiencies, rather than playing teams that we're going to have a majority of the possession. We're going to probably dictate the tempo.
I just want to say that Saudi Arabia and Japan both automatically qualified out of the Asian region. Saudi Arabia won the group. Japan was in there with them. Australia were the third place team. And Saudi Arabia, 10 games, 7 wins, 2 draws, 1 loss, only gave up 6 goals in those 10 games. Japan, 7 wins, 1 draw, 2 losses, only gave up 4 goals in those 2 games. What I don't mind playing one of these two teams. I just don't understand why we're playing both. I to your point, yes, Charlie, I would love to have seen one of the other top,
Who would you have rather played between Saudi Arabia and Japan if you had to pick one? And then who would be that other opponent? Would you rather a France or a Holland or an Argentina or Brazil?
Well, so that's a good question. I would say with regard to Saudi Arabia, they, not that we play like Mexico, but they're in a group with Mexico. They're in a group with Poland and Argentina, Saudi Arabia. And I feel like they gain more from playing us than maybe we gain from playing them. I don't want, again, like just as you said, I don't want to disrespect either one of these nations, but it would have been nice to potentially play against a team that mirrors what we're going to see. So with regard to, I don't play one or the other. I don't have there's something about Japan that I always,
I will say those are two World Cup teams though, Jimmy. Like these are two teams that are going to be your Wales, your Iran.
Yeah,
you know, Saudi being more type of like that, the more like kind of Middle Eastern, North African technical style of play, players good on the ball, explosive, quick, very different. Japan, a different style of play. But like, are you trying to win your group? Are you trying to get out of your group versus? And I agree with you, Charlie. It would be great to play a Belgium or France, but you also have got to find a way to get through Wales and get through Iran, okay. And those are going to be the games that get you out of your group.
I see 100% where you're going with that, and I get it. But let's just say you don't get those results in those two games. How deflating is that heading into a World Cup versus losing, if you do lose to Argentina or France, or a Holland or a Belgium, and you're still saying, hey, there were some, a lot of positives. Maybe we lost a tight one, or you're like, hey, that's who you're trying to compete with, because ultimately we're not looking to outpace the Asian nations. Like that's not who we want to be stacking up against. We want to be competing against the Frances and the Englands and the Belgiums and the Argentinas, the Brazils. The only way you're going to do that is by testing yourself constantly against that type of level. So I would say that's great that you get to see how those teams work, but we want to be playing against the best, and it really should be dictating on how you play. Make them adjust to you, not so much, oh, they're in a low block, so we have to – you just play the game. And however the game is, you dictate it, the tempo, you understand kind of the ins and outs of the tactics, and you just play. But it's just got to be a high level, and the tempo has got to be great.
Yeah, it's a tough one. In some ways, I'm trying to look at the top nations and going, well, which one looks like England out of the top nations? Now, again, Saudi Arabia, Japan, either one of them is fine, but it just would have been cool to maybe have a different – a team that maybe looked and tasted like England a little bit. And Belgium maybe with Lukaku. I mean, Brazil can hurt you in so many different ways. France, you know, obviously they got Benzema and they're just littered with talent. Argentina, I mean, Lautaro, I don't know. I mean, it's tough. I don't know. I wonder. When we did interview Greg not too long ago, he had mentioned that he wanted to face a team from Asia. I just didn't know they were going to do two teams from Asia. But to your point, Heath, and I'll let you take it from here, these are two World Cup teams that might challenge us in a way that would get us prepared for the Iran and Wales as opposed to really getting us prepared for England.
Yeah, and again, this is where I'm the most confused, because I remember personally, you know, anecdotally, the three of us would have much rather played against Spain or Belgium or France or anything that you could challenge yourself and test yourself, right?
Portugal.
I mean, Italy, Netherlands, Europeans. I think if it was a Brazil or Argentina, I see it as less applicable at the moment just because a completely different style of play. But in any top European side is going to have some elements of the way that England are going to play, right? And England are the ones that you're gunning for, at least from a level, just to test yourself against the top team. Because it's been a while since this national team has gotten to play against a top team with a full roster. And so I get that. But at the same time, you know, again, when you look at scheduling, it's better than I think we're going to see a lot of other opponents have in terms of their matchups, whether those are stuck for, I'm not sure if September has some Nations League game in Europe or something like that, but it seems like at least they're at a certain level of caliber that are going to have some challenges along the way and some mystery to the team because they're not in your region and that sort of stuff. So that hopefully there's some applicable things we can learn and take out of these matches versus what I think we'll see from, you know, we'll see what Canada does. We'll see what Mexico does. I'm not sure if their schedule is out and who they have to play. But I would say in terms of grabbing teams that have some application to a World Cup, there's something there, I think, to get out of it.
No, there's still World Cup opponents. I don't want to take anything away from that. I remember leading up to 2006, our last tune-up game before we left to go to Germany was Latvia. And I remember thinking, I don't know if this is the best preparation for Czech Republic and Italy and Ghana.
Wasn't.
And it wasn't. We got knocked out in the ears. Thanks for
no, Jimmy,
me.
I can tell you. So, I can tell you. It wasn't.
It was a bad idea.
So let's pivot now from these teams overall to Yunus Musa, who we talked about before. And apparently he's being linked away from Valencia to Fiorentina. So Heath, I'll come to you first. Do you like this move where Gennaro Gattuso, actually, who was at Fiorentina for like 3 weeks before he got out of there, is now taking over at Valencia? And now you have this potential link to Serie A. Do you think that's a good spot for Yunus Musa to go? I mean, I assume the overall answer for all three of us is, well, if he's going to get to play and play meaningful minutes, then hell yeah, that's what we want him to do. Because it was felt kind of spotty with Valencia.
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard to say because on one hand, you've got who is that Rocco Camisso, the owner?
Yes, Rocco Camisso.
So you've got an American owner,
Cosmos,
who is beloved there in a lot of ways, but is a controversial kind of infamous figure in the U.S. soccer landscape, but has gone in and is beloved by the fans and his willingness to put investment in. But there's also sort of this constant tension. So I think having that element, and I know we don't want nepotism in anything, but we've seen that there is a faith in American players that you just mentioned, McCourt. We just saw with, you know, obviously Ricardo Pepi, I think, is the wrong move owned by an American ownership group, but it could be a good entry point for him. But there's also running the risk of what does that mean? Is there a larger play here, or is this a pure footballing reason? Now, I think Yunus Musa could play in Serie A from the start and be a starter and be a contributor from the very beginning. I do think that Yunus Musa has probably been written off at Valencia because he's another player that we talk about Brendan Aaronson and the national team being super sub. Yunus Musa is young. He's got all the tools to play multiple positions, and he brings something every time he's on the field. Now, the downside of that is that he's young, and when things go wrong or things are tense, you have a lot of managers, old school managers, that look towards experienced players, and that's going to hurt him at this time. So to have a new team or a new club could be a great stepping stone for him to be in peak form come the World Cup. It's not Valencia, but Valencia is not the Valencia it was. And clearly he's in and out of the team after his last injury. It took him a long time to kind of get the minutes that we had seen that he was getting earlier on in the season. And so, yeah, I think a move is good. Fiorentina could be the right one.
So I'll jump in this, and I want to get your thoughts on this, Charlie, is that Lucas Torreira, who was on loan at Fiorentina last year, played 31 games in the league in Serie A last year, was their rock in that position. Now he's a little bit more of a six, and we know that Musa likes to play a little bit higher up the field or off the shoulder of the six. But it's interesting that Torreira, maybe somebody else can fill that gap, and then we could have Musa get into that midfield. But Torreira looks like he's out. They fell through with Arsenal and Fiorentina, and he might be on the move to Roma, which would be an interesting signing for Jose Mourinho. But it does open up some space in that midfield for Fiorentina. And if we could get a good run of games, I guess my question for you then, Charlie, is how do you think Yunus Musa would do in Serie A? Because it's obviously a different style than what you see in La Liga.
Yes, I think he would do very well in Serie A. And, you know,
do you think they see him as an eight, by the way, or a winger?
I think as an eight. Yeah. I think his play with the U.S. men's national team has allowed people to see his quality in a different position. And when you watch him play, he doesn't seem as a winger, right? The way he moves, the way he can control the ball and the tempo, and the way he's won second balls, it just seems like it's a perfect position for him. So I think the U.S. has helped him be seen in that way, because I think Valencia playing him on the wing isn't really playing him to his strengths. You can show here and there, but ultimately you want him in the midfield just because he has that ability to break through on the dribble. So in terms of Serie A, he would be an asset on most clubs. So I'd like to see him make the move just because I think he'll be valued in a different position, because at Valencia, they see him only as that player.
Yeah, I'm with you. I want him to go to Fiorentina. I think that he's done what he's going to do at Valencia. If they stick with him, I think he would chip away and get his minutes and go. But it feels like maybe under Gattuso, maybe his style of how he likes to play doesn't fit that system. And if Fiorentina actually wants him and can see his future somewhere in that midfield, and you have an American owner who wants to play the American player, you know, there might be some good energy there for him to get some valuable minutes ahead.
It's got to be the right club, though. It
does.
We've all been through the same cycle, that there is a desperation to make sure you are in the best position possible going into a World Cup. Now, we're only 5 months out, that there is a theme in the national team, at least for Yunus Musa, and he's going to go to the World Cup. But he spends 5 months on the bench. That could change the narrative. Now, I still think he's a starter based on his performances, but 5 months is a lifetime for a player, and the anxiety of knowing, like, the stepping stones of losing or wasting time, that I think we see the desperation. We saw that with Ricardo Pepi going to in Augsburg. I don't think that was a desperation move. It was one of the few clubs that could afford him, but you make the wrong decision. I think this season Ricardo Pepi will get minutes, but I still think it's the wrong club, and you don't want to get stuck at the wrong club because of how long you could get stuck there.
Yeah, no, that's always a risk, though. That's the risk that you take. And so if he does go to Fiorentina, hopefully it all works out. All right, now before we get to our final thoughts, or maybe this will be our final thoughts for this episode of In Soccer We Trust, Charlie and producer Alex, throw up the consensus top 10 for our power rankings, just so we can put a button on this conversation. So at 10, we had Gio Reyna. Me and Heath didn't have him on our list, but Charlie did. We got Jesus Ferrer at the 9, and he plays 9, so that's good. Matt Turner, 8. Brendan Aaronson, 7. Timo Weah, 6. And then when we click over to 5 versus 1, Zimmerman, 5th. Weston McKennie, 4th. Pulisic, 3rd. Yunus Musa, 2nd. Tyler Adams, number 1 with a consensus player power rankings, which was the big theme for our show today. Any final thoughts about this or anything else, Charlie Chuck Wagon Davies?
I'm not mad at the consensus top 10.
You're just mad at Heath.
Listen, I feel the same. Like, I'm actually okay with the consensus top 10. Like, I'm okay, Tyler and Yunus there. Christian, the top three, as Charlie mentioned, always a top three. Weston wasn't on my list, but four is fine.
I just can't believe that you just didn't have Weston on the list.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Hey, I mean, I'm not giving
even
out
if he, free, if he, like, even if you put no him at 10 lunch. And you're like, oh, he didn't, you know, have the most influence, but not on the list.
Listen, I do not.
I think you just forgot about him.
I didn't forget about him. I just, you guys all forgot about Luca De La Torre, but like,
I didn't. He was in
no, you thing. Forgot about Luca De La Torre.
No, he wasn't on either. I did forget, but you guys didn't have him on your list.
Because we don't think he's in top 10, but you went off of camp. So therefore he should be in the top 10.
That's fair. But I will say this. At least I didn't put a player who had a good game against Mexico and has barely contributed over a year and hasn't had super performances for the national team and hasn't played and had continuous injuries into a top 10 because of his potential.
Okay. That's
it's not based on potential. I didn't say this is a list of potential either.
I mean, that's all. I mean, what else could it be? He's not playing.
When he has played, he's top 10. No.
Against Mexico.
No, he's not a top 10 player.
Oh man,
he could be.
Producer no, Alex, come get Heath, man. He's losing his mind.
Yeah.
I loved it. I'm a Gio Reyna fanboy.
On one today, I'll tell you that.
I'm a Gio Reyna fanboy. But like we're handing out free turkeys right now. You know? Like we're handing out free lunch.
Turkeys.
Yeah, we're giving out free lunch.
Keith, I love you, but Weston not in your top 10 and then you're going to say it's a camp and Luca Dantori's not in your top 10? Come on, bro.
That's
fair. Oh,
I'll admit the error on Luca De La Torre, but I'll fight for the fact that
if you're gonna die on that hill.
You could have put Weston McKennie in my top 10. That's fine. I'm okay with that.
But now I just feel like it's at least you didn't want to be boring, Heath. You didn't want to be boring. That's
100%. He wanted to be the contrarian.
He did.
No, I'm not contrarian. I just want to have a discussion.
I'm gonna call you
3 days a week.
I'm gonna call you Herc Pierce.
All right. On that note, that's the end of the show. We appreciate your support and love and adoration. As always, we got two more episodes coming up for you this week on Thursday and Friday. We're trying to cook up a special guest as well. So be on the lookout for that. Make sure you turn on your notifications, hit like and subscribe, of course. And on behalf of producer Dez, producer Alex, Charlie Chuckwagon Davies, and Hollywood Heath Pierce, I'm Jimmy Cream Cheese Conrad saying thank you for listening and watching in Soccer We Trust. We'll see you next time. Later.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.